Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. I want to thank you for some of your comments regarding the program that I did with Sandra last week on the Satanic Temple. And it's still in the news. We're going to cover Secrets this week, Secrets Volume 322. And I came across this article in ChristianHeadlines.com. It's written by Milton Quintanilla, and it was dateline August 2nd of this year. And Blaze Media reported that Fox News was making donations to left-leaning causes, the loony left, and the corporation, Fox News, was matching donations from its employees, had an app that they had for the employees that they could click on, and if they donated to a charitable organization, a 501c3 organization, that Fox would match it. Well, it was exposed that Fox was matching donations to the Satanic Temple. That's right. Former and current Fox News employees accuse the company of making donations to organizations that include Planned Parenthood, The Trevor Project, which is an LGBT activist group, and, of course, Power of Prophecy's longstanding friends at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Yes, so they were donating to all of these loony left organizations and the Satanic Temple. Isn't that special? Fox would match employee donations up to $1,000 to an organization of the employee's choice. Makes you wonder what kind of people Fox has hired, doesn't it? Now, allegedly, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association was not eligible for donation matching, but because of the backlash, now the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has been approached about joining the Fox Giving Program, and they have removed the Satanic Temple from donation matching. Why? Why did they quit? Well, because they got exposed for being the two-faced slime balls that they are. Everybody has believed for a long time that Fox was a conservative news media. But it's been proven over and over again that it's another one of the controlled media conglomerate, cabal, whatever you want to call it. They only give you the news that they want you to get, and they spin it, maybe not as left-leaning as MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, but it's not center, and it sure isn't to the right, and it sure isn't about supporting Christians, is it? No, not in the least. Oh, my goodness. Came across this one from the Western Journal, written by Jack Davis. And I've told you before that I worked for a guy many, many years ago in an automotive machine shop. And he told me, Jerry, we can pencil whip any problem into a rational conclusion that we want it to. A rational conclusion, right? Well, we know that the unemployment rate has been doctored. And Jack exposes this. Now, the June jobs report just came out, and resident Joe Biden, in his senilic wisdom, has claimed that the numbers are improving because Bidenomics is working, right? Well, buried deep in this report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics is the revelation that more than 5 million Americans who are not working were not counted in the unemployment rate. That's right. The report said, quote, The number of persons not in the labor force who currently want a job was 5.4 million in June, little changed from the prior month. These individuals were not counted as unemployed because they were not actively looking for work during the 4 weeks preceding the survey or were unavailable to take a job. The report also noted that 1.1 million people are counted as long-term unemployed, which means they've been out of work for 27 weeks or more. And the report also noted that many Americans are stuck in part-time jobs. Now, people are employed part-time for economic reasons are individuals who would have preferred full-time employment but were working part-time because their hours had been reduced or they were unable to find full-time jobs. The report again noted that while some Americans struggle, the government sector continues to grow. Government jobs rose by 60,000 in June. The report also said unemployment will rise to 4.7% in the fourth quarter of 2024, and over the same period, the number of unemployed people will rise from 5.9 million to 7.8 million. So, when you hear a politician say, oh, my economics program is working, they have doctored the statistics. You remember when they tried to claim they had balanced the budget way back in the day? And this was before Newt Gingrich. But the government had a set number of dollars that they budgeted each and every year to maintain the federal government. And then somebody in the swamp decided, well, you know, we've got all of this money coming in from Social Security that if we add that to the general ledger instead of having it separated, it gives us more money to spend. Cause and effect, right? By doing that, they put Social Security at risk, and they have claimed ever since that Social Security is on the verge of bankruptcy and it's going to run out for people who are my age in their 60s that are looking to retire in the next 5 to 7 years. Now, I'm not saying I am, but I'm saying people that are in their 60s are looking to retire in 5 to 7 years. Well, the Social Security is going to dry up because we got too many old-timers from the boomers that are going to retire, and they're going to pull money out of this account. Well, Congress has given up on worrying about that so much because they keep borrowing money from the Fed for all these entitlements, true entitlements, like food stamps, welfare, Section 8 housing, continued unemployment payment during the scamdemic. All of this is designed, these entitlements, true entitlements, is to draw more and more people onto the government plantation and make the government wholly depending upon their survival. These people have given up their rights, their freedoms, to suckle on the government. And that's what socialism and communism are all about. They want to control everything. They don't want you thinking for yourself. Why do you think Klaus Schwab's goofy ideas about a new industrial revolution and all of this great reset sound so good to so many people? Because they're tired of making decisions. And there are those that claim they know what's best for you, and they're going to take everything you own, and they will own it, and you will rent it, and you will own nothing and be happy. Now, I came across this one from the Gateway Pundit. I love going to thegatewaypundit.com. Written by Cullen Linebarger. And Disney, we all know how evil Disney is. Well, it's been exposed by a whistleblower that Disney has been bullying conservatives inside the company. Are you shocked? No, I didn't think so. Bounding into Comics revealed that a whistleblower has come forward describing how Disney is systematically persecuting conservatives. The woke company has mandated employees keep diversity, equity, and inclusion diaries, which determine whether employees would receive promotion, raises, or even keep their job. Sounds like a lot like the social credit system that China has, right? And the one that Biden is trying to implement here in America. a social credit score. So if you're towing the company line and you're a good soldier, your social credit score goes up, you may get a promotion, you may get a raise. You will definitely get to keep your job. However, if you don't tow the company line and you decide that you're going to post on social media how evil and crazy things are with DEI at Disney, well, you could be terminated. There is a YouTube guy named WDW Pro, and he said this on his YouTube channel, quote, "It is now our understanding that at Disney, since the summer of 2020, many employees of the company have been required to maintain their various virtuous actions within diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that diary of their good deeds was part of maintaining their job security. But not only that, but in fact, it was also tied to their job compensation, if you can believe it. We're talking about bonuses that you might not receive if you win afoul of LaTondra Newton, the prior chief diversity officer of Disney, and if you win afoul of her belief systems," close quote. So if you went against LaTondra Newton and her ideals, you got sent to Human Resources, HR, to be re-educated. If you spoke out at the workplace, if you talked about it outside the workplace, if you posted on social media, and if your political or socio-cultural beliefs did not align with her very far-left ideals, you could be sent to HR to have discussions and be put in a re-education program. So it seems to me that the Disney Corporation has eliminated the vast majority of their conservative employees. Newton had an underling to help carry out the dirty work. This crony instituted a new process by which to hire people based on DEI principles. So you weed out the conservatives that way. You don't even let them get in the door. Now, Newton left Disney in June, spent 6 years ruining this company with her Marxist ideals, and during her tyrannical reign, Disney pushed radical LGBTQ agendas in its animated films, and race-swapped white characters. She ditched fairy godmothers for more gender-neutral titles at dress-up boutiques inside the theme park, and also got rid of the long-time greeting at Disney World that said, "Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Magic Kingdom." Now, it's all about inclusivity, so that's done with. A bunch of snowflakes out there. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of snowflakes, came across this one. You know, we have lost our minds as a society. Now, not everybody, but those who have prescribed to the loony left ideals that need safe spaces. There's a reason they're called snowflakes, because they melt when there's any kind of heat. Well, this happened on a flight July 18th. That was going from New York's John F. Kennedy Airport to Georgetown, Guyana. An hour into the flight, it was returned back to JFK. The incident began when a prickly male flight attendant refused to assist Joel Gansham, G-H-A-N-S-H-A-M, with his luggage. See, Mr. Gansham had undergone spinal surgery and couldn't lift up his luggage to go in the overhead bin. So he asked the flight attendant to stick his luggage up there. And the flight attendant said, "No, I don't do that. I'm not paid to do that." Okay. Somebody else from the flight crew helped Mr. Gansham put his luggage up in the overhead bin. But how snooty of that flight attendant. Now, I almost called him a steward because that's what they were when I was growing up, stewards and stewardesses. But now you can't say that. Now they're flight attendant. That's gender neutral, I guess. I don't know. Oh, my. Well, a little bit later into the flight, they started serving beverages. And the flight attendant, the same snooty bugger that wouldn't put the luggage up, stopped at Mr. Gansham's seat and asked him if he'd like something to drink. And Mr. Gansham didn't want to start any trouble, so he just didn't say anything. Well, the flight attendant asked again if he wanted something to drink, and he probably had some snoot in his voice. And so Mr. Gansham said, "No, thank you, waiter." Oh, my. That's when the problem started. The flight attendant, the little snowflake, was upset that he was called waiter, and he threatened to have the plane diverted back to JFK. So Mr. Goncham has already been aggravated by this little twerp, and so he remarked that the flight attendant must be God. Oh, that was it. That was the final straw. They were 1 hour into the flight when the plane returned to JFK. Once they got back in New York, a law enforcement officer boarded the plane, questioned Mr. Goncham, and when the officer learned what happened, he didn't even bother to take Mr. Goncham's statement. He just left the plane because he was called waiter. Can you believe how vain and self-centered, narcissistic our society has become? Offended by being called waiter on a flight when he's already been snooty with the passenger. You know, when I was starting to work back when I was 15, 46 years ago, the customer was always right, is what I was told. Don't argue with the customer. Try to appease the customer. Make them happy. Not anymore. But these events seem to be increasing in number, and it exposes the tyrannical nature of some of these snowflakes. They seem to hold themselves in high esteem and wield this authority without mercy. American Airlines, this was an American Airlines flight, is as guilty as their flight attendant, their steward. Straybrook News called and inquired about the diversion of the flight, and they got a robotic-sounding statement that said, quote, American Airlines Flight 2557 with service from New York JFK to Georgetown, Guyana, returned yesterday to JFK due to a disruptive customer. Safety and security are our top priorities, and we thank our customers for their understanding and our team members for their professionalism in managing a difficult situation. It was a difficult situation because the snowflake was offended that he was called a waiter after already being snooty with a passenger, a paying customer. If I was the CEO of American Airlines, the first thing I'm doing is suspending the snooty flight attendant because he wasted 2 hours of gas. That's a hit to the bottom line at American Airlines. I may retrain this jackwagon or I may fire him because he got his feelings hurt. We already know that there's unemployment out there. Maybe some of these people who are unemployed would love to be a flight attendant, would love to help the customer. Is a customer always right? No. But do you want to anger a customer that's going to affect your bottom line? No. So you work for a situation in the middle that resolves it amicably between the vendor and the customer. And you don't kowtow to little snowflakes who get their feelings hurt after they've already been snooty to a paying customer. Oh, my. Speaking of snooty, the Washington Post, Jeff Bezos' fish wrap, they featured a story recently about the 2023 Boy Scout National Jamboree. It concluded a week ago. And when I was a young boy, I joined the Boy Scouts. I thought it'd be fun. Back then, it was teaching you about discipline and care and loving your fellow man and helping them. It wasn't what it eventually became, which was a brothel for pedophiles who became scoutmasters. And it's only gotten worse. Now, the Post talked about this jamboree, but they pushed the progressive side of it. They were impressed by how inclusive the Boy Scouts have become. In the article, they talked about a tent being decorated with LGBTQ pride flags. There was a table covered with bowls of rainbow bracelets. There were pronoun stickers and diversity patches. All of this is at the top of the article. You have to, and this is typical with these progressive, loony left media rags. The meat of the story is usually in the middle, and it's buried. After you got into this story, you realize that attendance is less than half of what it was at the last Jamboree in 2017. The organization's membership numbers continue to plummet as the left has continually destroyed the Boy Scouts, which once encouraged boys and young men to be morally straight. But we all know about the homos that sexually abused a bunch of the Boy Scouts. There was a massive settlement by the Boy Scouts that caused them to go bankrupt. And now it accepts girls and transgender scouts into the Boy Scouts. Would you want to send your little boy into the Scouts today? Because you already know it's propagated with pedophiles and transgenders and all these progressive ideals that are destroying this country. Speaking of ideals that are destroying this country, let's go to an article from WorldNet Daily, written by Peter Partol, P-A-R-T-O-L-L. A Texas teacher was fired from a Christian school because she attended a drag queen show and posted about it on Facebook. Her name is Christy Maris. She taught at First Baptist Academy in Baytown, Texas. She'd been there for 19 years. On her post on Facebook, Ms. Maris said the show was a blast and posted pictures and videos of the drag queen show. But Ms. Maris violated a clause in the school's operating policy manual that states, quote, "I will act in a godly and moral fashion at work, on Facebook, and in my community," close quote. Now, Ms. Maris agreed to this clause, but claimed she had no idea going to a drag show would violate the school policy. A coworker that went with her was also terminated. By supporting this mental illness that it's okay for a man to dress up as a woman and bragging about it is not a Christian ideal. Why would a Christian, a true Christian, want to attend one of these heinous and ungodly performances? It doesn't compute with you, does it? Because it doesn't with me. I don't even want to see two dudes holding hands, let alone do anything else, and I sure don't want to watch them put on gobs of whorish makeup and strut around in a dress and high heels and pretend that they're a female. That's a mental illness. And it's not something that you should condone or support. And she deserved to get fired along with her coworker. Now, speaking of the nuttiness, John Kerry, on May 10th, at the Aim for Climate Summit in Washington, Kerry asserted, "We can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution." Here is what John Kerry said, and I've got audio for you to listen to.
Agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions of the world, depending a little bit on how you count it, but it's anywhere from 26 to 33. And we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. But with a growing population on the planet, we just crossed the threshold of 8 billion fellow citizens around the world. We just crossed that in this last year. Emissions from the food system alone are projected to cause another half a degree of warming by mid-century on the current course that we are today. A 2-degree future could result in an additional 600 million people not getting enough to eat. And you just can't continue to both warm the planet while also expecting to feed it. Doesn't work. So we have to reduce emissions from the food system to keep the 1.5 degrees alive. Why do we have to keep 1.5 degrees alive? Because scientists, as a basis of physics and mathematics, not ideology and politics or party labels or anything else, as a matter of physics and mathematics and some biology and chemistry, have told us these are the consequences. And we already see it happening. And almost everything they've predicted for 30 plus years now is coming true. But the problem is it's coming true faster and bigger than was in fact predicted.
Au contraire, Mr. Kerry, because they called for an ice age back in the 70s. Then Al Gore came out and said, we got global warming. And he held summits. And every time he held a summit, they were snowed out. They were blizzarded out because of global warming. Well, because the climate wasn't warming, it's actually cooling. They had to change it to climate change. Well, the Bible tells us we're going to see the seasons until Jesus returns. But the scientists are pencil whipping whatever these elite want you to believe. So John Kerry is in agreement with those over in the Netherlands that are wanting to get rid of farmers. They're wanting to kill cows because cows produce methane. Even though we've got more vegetation that gets rid of the carbon dioxide in the air, we got to get rid of farms. Well, Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, about these remarks said, quote, nothing to see here, just hypocritical Dems wanting to bankrupt every farmer in America. Representative Andy Harris, a Republican from Maryland, called Kerry's claim that farming and agriculture are responsible for carbon emissions ridiculous. Representative Mary Miller accused Kerry of launching a war on farmer. Miller noted that leftists in Europe are also targeting farmers. Conservative attorney Rogan O'Hanley remarked of those genocidal tyrants. He accused Kerry and other climate policy advocates of pushing for depopulation. Kamala Harris recently said depopulation. Mr. O'Hanley said, quote, John Kerry wants to starve the world to change the weather, close quote. Representative Chip Roy from my district here in Texas said, quote, climate czar John Kerry is a poster child for the Biden administration's anti-energy policies that are destroying both our economy and national security. It's time to defund anti-energy climate bureaucrats like John Kerry once and for all. But you remember the hubbub that the progressives had when Donald Trump took us out of the Paris Climate Accord? Well, guess who just recently backed out of that? Chinese President Xi Jinping has backed out of any commitment to reduce emissions. The John Kerry you just heard was in talks with his Chinese counterpart, and it didn't go so well. The Biden administration-led efforts to dramatically curtail U.S. emissions at steep economic cost will yield no net reduction in global emissions and a negligible reduction in global temperature. Mr. Xi's announcement appears to be an indication that the Chinese Communist Party, the Red Chinese, are indifferent toward this Biden administration. Remember in June, Secretary of State Antony Blinken visited China, didn't develop any diplomatic breakthroughs. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, visited in July. And all we got out of that was headlines of her awkwardly bowing down to this commie. This should tell you that the commies in China are not interested in working with the United States on any issue. Think about how many coal-fired power plants China is building. Why? Because they want energy independence. They are not putting all their stock in wind farms and solar panels. They want energy because why? They want to become the world superpower that America was. That's the end goal. That's the end game. Who controls most of the minerals that make batteries? China. That's why they're allowing us to kill ourselves with these EVs, because they're making money hand over fist because we have to buy the minerals to make batteries from them. Great reset? I believe it. They want to reset America into a third world dung heap and promote China as the world's lone superpower. That's coming. And if you don't believe me, Tex Mars exposed this agenda years ago. And I'm going to tell you how to get a copy of his outstanding DVD on the other side. We're at the halftime break. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me some of your time. When I come back, I'm going to dive right back into Secrets, Volume 322. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. I'll be right back. Hello, friends. You and I both know how powerful Tex Mars's research, his exposés, his documentaries, his books, and his radio show, how ahead of his time he always was. I read Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, and it really kind of shocked me. I didn't really see what Tex was writing as what was happening, but now it's so poignant. Well, in January of 2012, more than 11 years ago, Tex Mars produced a documentary that a lot has come to pass, but so much more is right on the horizon. It is still vital information today. It is entitled Die, America, Die. The economic misery index is at an all-time high. There are millions of Americans out of work, and there are fewer and fewer job prospects for them. There are protesters and demonstrators occupying our streets and demanding that politicians do something to fix America's financial condition. But the political gridlock prevails, and in fact, there really is no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. Incompetence, graft, corruption, scandal, they're found everywhere inside the Beltway in D.C. and every state capital in the Union. America seems to be sinking into a hellhole of defeat, and a final economic cataclysmic event may soon be at hand. But is this breaking of America's back a planned series of fiascos? Is there an elitist group backed by the money power, including the Federal Reserve, the White House, and corporate banking interests, overseeing this destructive process? Indeed, is Red China their perfect communist ideal set to rise as the leader of the New World Order? George Soros said that China was destined to become the leader of the New World Order. Will it come to pass? Will the U.S. be leveled and the dollar decimated? Will the tyrants in Beijing benefit? Can we stop this plan and make America great once again? You will discover this and so much more in this powerful 80-minute documentary by Tex Mars, Die, America, Die. We're only asking $25. Please add $6 for shipping and handling. That'll make your total $31. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those same charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Die America Die right there on the main page. If you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Die, America, Die. Explosive documentary by Tex Mars. $31 postpaid. If you don't have a copy, you need to get yours today. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. Today we're covering Secrets. Secrets Volume 322. You know, a Christian coach was fired for praying on the football field. Well, a new coach has been fired for stating his views, his biblically held views on the differences between the sexes. His name is David Block. He is a former, now, high school snowboarding coach, fired for expressing his views on transgender-identifying athletes. He's filed a lawsuit against his school for firing him. The lawsuit states, quote, on February 8th of 2023, Coach Block and his team were waiting in the lodge for a competition to start. That day, his team was to compete against a team that had a male snowboarder who identified as a female and competes against females. Coach Block says he overheard a conversation between two of his student athletes and briefly joined in. Coach Block affirmed that as a matter of biology, males and females have different DNA, which causes males to develop differently from females and have different physical characteristics. Before the transgender lunacy started, we all agreed on this. There are biological differences that give male athletes a competitive advantage against females. According to a Gallup survey released in June, nearly 70% of U.S. adults believe that transgender-identifying athletes should only be allowed to compete on sports teams that conform with their birth gender as opposed to their current gender identity. A Pew Research Center study from last year found that 6 in 10 Americans say a person's gender is determined by their sex assigned at birth. The lawsuit also states, quote, the conversation was respectful among all parties and lasted no more than 3 minutes. It took place entirely outside the presence of the transgender-identifying snowboard. Coach Block's team competed without incident. After the competition, the two teams and their coaches shared a bus home. But it didn't matter. Coach Block was guilty of wrongthink. He was handed a termination notice the next day by Windsor Central Supervisory Union Superintendent Sherry Sousa. He was accused of violating the school district's harassment policy, as well as a related policy by the Vermont Principals Association, which oversees high school sports in the state. Block was also barred from future employment within the district. Now, Coach Block believes in true science, actual biology. There are only two sexes, male and female. Your sex is determined by your chromosomes. But these views are terrifying for the elites who are pushing this transgender ideology idiocy. Speaking of idiocy, a suspect attempted to rob a gas station. That's right, he attempted to. According to Harjinder Singh, the clerk on duty at the time, this would-be robber came into the store asking to use a restroom. He went around the corner, put on a mask, and then came back to the counter and attempted to rob the store. But unfortunately for this guy, he brought a knife to a gunfight. There was another customer inside the store who was a licensed concealed carry person. When the suspect pulled out a knife to rob the store, that's right, the card-carrying, Second Amendment-believing man shot the suspect. Then they called the police, and he was arrested, and the suspect was arrested and taken to the hospital for treatment and later jail. But you didn't hear this on controlled media. They never tell you when a good guy with a gun saves the lives of himself and others. They won't tell you responsible gun owners save lives. We know that gun ownership means taking responsibility not only for protecting ourselves, but the lives of others who could be victimized by evil people. It's one of the reasons an armed society is essential. Cass County Prosecutor Victor Fitz noted that the suspect has been charged with armed robbery and his office will be seeking his extradition to the state of Michigan, where he faces life offense charges to two robberies. Now, Michigan does have pretty strict gun control laws, but not draconian like New York and California. But control media doesn't want you to know that responsible gun owners are protecting themselves and other citizens who could become victims. With the defunding of the police, there are not as many officers on the street. There are always backups for 911 calls. There's delays in getting responses. And in some cities, it's worse than others. I can think of a couple in California. How about Los Angeles? How about San Francisco? How about Seattle, Washington? Portland, Oregon? Those police squads are decimated, thanks to defunding of the police. Good guys with guns stop crime. You won't hear it anywhere on controlled media, but you'll hear it here. Here's some more lunacy. This was in the Washington Examiner, written by Brecken F. Thies, T-H-I-E-S. The Kentucky Board of Nursing mandated nurses take an implicit bias course to recognize the history of racism in healthcare. And discipline was threatened if they did not take this course. They forced the nurses to complete the training by July 1st. According to Rebecca Wall, a certified registered nurse anesthetist with 40 years experience, she said, quote, "They pretty much said we're all guilty of being racist, and we need to examine the way we take care of patients and change our behaviors because we are giving substandard care." If that was the case, wouldn't they be sued for malpractice? I'm sorry, but minorities can get a lawyer, an ambulance chaser, to go after policies and procedures that are detrimental to their health. I don't think that's against the law for anybody to do. The Kentucky Nurses Association Board of Directors, Treasurer Erica Branfield, and CEO Delanor Manson told nurses that best intentions will not solve implicit bias in healthcare. Quote, "In order to lead to meaningful change, any exploration of implicit bias must be situated as part of a much larger conversation on racism and bias," close quote. By claiming that people are racist, especially in the healthcare industry, That's a slap in the face for their professionalism, for their care for human beings. Are there bad eggs in the nursing profession? I'm sure there are. Just like there are in every industry in this country. There are great people, and there are people that are the dregs of humanity. But to make somebody claim they are an oppressor or an oppressee is idiocracy. How are we supposed to get united as a country if all we're going to do is be told that we are divided? All this divisiveness, DEI, is creating a divide between races, between classes. It's not unifying the country like President Biden claimed he was going to do. All they've done is push this Marxist doctrine, this garbage about systemic racism in permeating every aspect of society. No. And if these people, these nurses, didn't take this course, they would be disciplined. How about not having your license renewed because you refuse to take this garbage course? So you have to bite your tongue, you have to sit through all this garbage calling you a racist, and you have to toe the company line. I don't know about you, but I'm about fed up with it. It's aggravating. You know that there are over 100 colleges that are still enforcing vaccine mandates? That's right. They want their students to take the jab, even though now more and more students are suffering sudden death from heart issues. Yeah. They want their students to take the jab. Some of these universities include Harvard, Johns Hopkins, Rutgers, DePaul, the University of Pittsburgh, San Diego State University. Now, a lot of universities and colleges only recently discontinued this requirement. There were 64 New York State schools, or part of the SUNY system, that dropped the COVID vaccine mandate in April of this year. One woman, Diamond Ellie Puentes, was abruptly expelled from Union College in April of 2022 after she requested a medical exemption from the booster shot. Well, now Ms. Puentes is suing Union College over her treatment and expulsion. Best of luck. Got this one from Peter Partol again in the Western Journal, August 2nd. He writes about how much it costs to charge EVs versus putting gas in your internal combustion engine. He writes, quote, advocates for electrical vehicles have once again been hit with a rather inconvenient fact. The idea seems to be that it's cheaper to charge an EV than it is to fuel a car in the current economy. Well, there's a new report bringing all of that into question, suggesting that it may in fact be more expensive to charge an EV. The Insider is a publication, and they put out a report that looked at four different types of cars: trucks, entry-level cars, luxury cars, and mid-level cars, to see how much it would cost to fuel them compared to charging them. The results will disappoint those who have jumped on the EV bandwagon. Trucks roughly cost the same to fuel and charge. The average cost of fueling a truck is between $17 and $17.58 for every 100 miles. Charging the truck at home costs $17.72 every 100 miles. But if you have to charge in public at one of these public stations, then the charge cost soars to over $26 for every 100 miles of charging. Entry-level vehicle fueling costs about $9.78 for every 100 miles. Charging it at home costs $12.55 at home and $16 in public. Mid-level cars cost $11.08 per 100 miles to fuel and $12.62 to charge at home and $16.10 to charge in public. The only caveat is a luxury car. They're $17.56 for every 100 miles for gas, $13.50 to charge at home, and $17.81 to charge in public. Luxury cars are the only EVs that seem to be cheaper to charge than to fill up with gas. The only problem is, do you have $200,000 sitting around in your savings account to buy an EV? Can you afford to make a payment on a car that's over $200,000? I thought not. Stupid. Speaking of stupid, according to this report in WashingtonStand.com written by Ben Johnson, one in every six Democrats believes that force is justified to restore abortion rights. This according to a new poll. Democrats backing abortion-related terrorism has doubled from 8% to 16% since January. 31 million Americans support the use of violence to reinstate abortion in U.S., up from 22 million just 3 months ago. This survey was from the University of Chicago's Chicago Project on Security and Threats. This same percentage of Democrats agree that force is justified to prevent Donald Trump from becoming president, as well as to coerce Congress or government officials. You remember Mad Maxine, when Trump got elected, telling everybody on TV, national news, that if you see one of Trump's people out in public, you harass them. You tell them we don't want them here. You remember her doing that? I do. Plain as day. And it's only ramped up the vitriol against conservatives and Christians. They want to, by force, reinstate abortion. What did they do to Kavanaugh's house? Supreme Court justice. And the Department of Justice and the Secret Service refused to move these protesters off his property. These people should have been arrested. This is a Supreme Court justice that was harassed by angry demon rats, progressives. According to this survey, 44 million Americans are willing to justify domestic terrorism to influence legislation. Think about this. There have been at least 67 attacks against pro-life pregnancy resource centers since the Dobbs decision was leaked in May of 2022. There's been vandalism at Republican Congressman Tim Walberg's Michigan office, who just happens to share space with a pro-life organization. There was a firebombing of Compass Care office in New York 2 weeks earlier than Tim Walberg's office is being vandalized. Churches have also been attacked. There have been over 543 attacks against churches between January of 2018 and March of 2023, including 57 abortion-related assaults on churches in the first 9 months of 2022. There's also been numerous attacks against churches related to LGBTQ issues. The Department of Homeland Security has warned that churches face an elevated threat of violence until at least the 2024 elections. Sonja Shaw, the president of the Chino Valley Unified School District Board of Education, was threatened to be killed and dismembered after the district defied Governor Gavin Newsom's order and prevented teachers from hiding a child's gender transition from his or her parents. These same radical LGBTQ terrorists threatened to blow up Target stores after Target removed some of the pride-themed displays of infants and toddlers' clothing bearing the rainbow insignia. It wasn't the Christians who threatened to bomb Target. It was the nut jobs. The phrase culture war is not just a euphemism. They have declared war against conservatives and Christians. Unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, there was an article in the LA Times recently written by Sammy Roth. And he proposed this question about being more understanding of the controlled rolling blackouts that plague different cities in California because it will help tackle climate change. Well, there has been a tremendous amount of pushback against the LA Times for publishing this article. There was a legal dispute over the operation of a gas-fired power plant in Glendale, California. The city of Glendale argues that the plant is necessary to prevent blackouts and protect its nearly 200,000 residents from potential catastrophes. But the article questioned whether society's expectations should evolve in order to prevent a climate catastrophe. Experts have warned that California's electric grid is at risk of blackouts and failure as the state continues to push for a transition to renewable energy sources. Now, the state's grid is largely still powered by fossil fuels, but there is a significant shift towards renewable power like wind and solar. But critics of the article argue that orchestrated blackouts would not effectively address climate change. Media strategist Gabriella Hoffman pointed out that net zero policies and decarbonization efforts actually lead to grid instability, energy insecurity, and blackouts. Steve Malloy, founder of Junk Science, called the article peak climate idiocy, while energy-related public policy analyst David Blackman accused the LA Times of running a propaganda campaign to condition people to accept frequent blackouts. The article has raised concerns about the role of the media in promoting certain narratives and influencing public opinion. Speaking of California, you know, Gavin and all his loony lefty buddies out there are pushing for a mandate that all new trucks purchased after January 1st, 2024 that service ports, rail yards, and distribution centers be zero emission vehicles, EVs. The problem is, has anybody factored in the price of what one of these tractors is going to cost? How about the number of miles this tractor can pull a load on a charge? What about maintenance, replacement parts? All of these are unknown variables. But the loonies out in California are pushing this. And they believe that net zero starts at the California border. Nelson Cibrian owns Cibrian Trucking, based in Wilmington, California, told the Epoch Times, where I got this article, quote, "If we don't know the actual range, it makes it impossible to schedule, and they can't give me a straight answer on how long trucks will take to charge," close quote. Consider this, trucks take a special charging station. Some experts say cost could be tenfold for electric trucks versus diesel trucks. Are you ready for this? The price of most semi-trucks that are electric is about $500,000 based on listings for new models. Tesla is trying to corner the market with undercutting prices, and their models are range from $180,000 and up. But 10,000 trucks each year are replaced. And this new mandate is going to demand manufacturers put out more than they can actually supply. But consider this. How about highway safety? The battery pack weighs about 10,000 pounds. With weight limits on the roads, how much product do you think these trucks are going to be able to haul? I'm talking just the battery pack itself is 10,000 pounds. Our bridges aren't designed for this. Roads aren't designed for this. We already have an infrastructure problem. And we already have issues with people being injured terribly in these accidents with semi-trucks. What if the brakes go out on this EV truck and it plows into a whole mess of cars? A battery weighing 10,000 pounds on top of the truck and the load is going to do a ton of damage. What about fires? Because we've all heard and seen video about vehicles that are electric going up in flames and you can't put out the fire. What do you think a 10,000 pound battery is going to do? How many months do you think that'll burn? Maybe we should rethink this push for EVs, work on developing answers to these dilemmas instead of setting deadlines that are unattainable. Like January 1, 2024. Maybe we should rethink the idiocy that these loony left are pushing, trying to convert everybody from gasoline and diesel-powered vehicles to these EVs. I told you the story about a woman driving from Missouri to Colorado, and she got stranded more than once because there were no charging stations. Things that make you ponder. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.